Thank you for listening. Thank you for downloading. And thank you, everybody, for your support. My name's Tezza. Tonight on the show, or wherever you're listening around the world, we have Tony. How are you, mate?
I'm not too bad, thanks. Yourself?
Yeah, good, buddy, good. Carl, how are you going, mate?
I'm very good, waiting for the next Arsenal match.
Yeah, international break, mate. It couldn't come quick enough, could it? Savvy's with us as well. How are you going, buddy?
Yeah, I'm doing very well, thank you.
That's the way. So, in the international break, guys, it's... we have journalists come out and they're basically headlining headlining the act. Sorry, I've got rain in the background. Someone's got kids there somewhere. We're actually on Skype, so it sounds like we're at a public school where it's pissing down rain. So Arsenal lead the headlines this week on the international break, guys, with and Tony, you did a piece earlier. Kroenke's buying Ustinov shares, and then Ustinov comes out and he says, I'm not selling my shares. So I ask you guys, where does this leave Arsenal's future down the path? Tony?
It's a difficult one because Ustinov, I mean, he's got the best PR team since Mesut Ozil, really. PC released was unbelievable, that I'll only sell for the better of the club. It's actually worked because it's tricked people into believing that he actually cares rather than it's just all about the money. Mm. Like, so he said, he does want majority control of Arsenal, but then he said, I'll only sell if it's for the better of Arsenal, blah, blah, blah. Believe me, if Stan Kroenke comes and offers him £1 billion, he's selling. So great work by his PR team, but it's kind of left us none the wiser because he said all the things the fans want to hear. Mm. But I mean, we've heard players and the club do that loads of times. Where it leaves us is status quo. So we're exactly where we have been for the last 3 to 5 years, really. Nothing's changed, and it doesn't look like anything is going to change.
Mm-hmm. Would you like Ustinov to buy out Kroenke?
I don't want a single owner of the club, whoever that be. I think a lot of fans want Ustinov in, just because they think he's going to be like Abramovich and throw his money at the club, and go down that route. I'm not so sure he will, and I don't really like Stan, but the Ustinov route is untested, and it also doesn't guarantee success. Like, his right-hand man, Mashiri's gone to Everton. And you'd imagine that they go through the same, they work on the same principles because they've worked together for so long.
Yep.
And I mean, it looks like they've spent a load of money, but they spent about 70 million, which for a team that came seventh, was it? It's not a huge amount. I know it's more than what we spent. Mm. But they've also spent a load of money and got worse. So, I mean, the grass isn't always greener, is I guess what I'm trying to say.
Yeah. And what about you, Carl? What would you think of the whole, Kroenke Ustinov battle, mate?
I think it's very interesting. But the main thing is the fact that, like Tony said, you don't want one owner ruling the club because the power goes to their head, might start making stupid decisions, I don't know. But I think having a generous share for Ustinov, perhaps a 50-50 at least, I don't know. No way would that ever happen, but it'd be good for the club if it did. Because at the end of the day, you want two owners at least that are, you know, they're gonna put the 10 pence in. But having one owner like Ustinov wouldn't be that good for the club. And as Tony said, it's untested. Mm. We don't know how he's gonna invest into the club, how he's gonna run it.
Mm-hmm. And what's your take on it all, Savvy?
Yeah, I think, as they said, I agree with them. I think we don't know how Ustinov will run the club. But if we judge by the comments he put out and whatever that Orenstein tweeted, so obviously most of the fans will be on his side that we want Ustinov as the majority owner. But definitely we can see Stan and Ustinov, it's not a partnership because Ustinov has no control He has no say at the club, so definitely for the money he's put in at the club, he would want some control. Mm. So it's definitely not a partnership. So I would like the owners. I don't want one majority owner. I want, I think, maybe two or three. But it should be that every owner should have some say with the dealings of the club. Mm. And so right now, it doesn't look like... it looks like Stan is the only owner because Osmanov doesn't have anything to say at the club. I want that to change. Otherwise, we really don't know what will happen. But I hope whatever happens, it's good for Arsenal.
Tony, back to you, mate. Why is that the case with Usmanov? Why doesn't he have a say on the club, and why doesn't he have a position on the board?
You have to be invited or voted onto the board, essentially. He hasn't been invited or voted onto the board. It's as simple as that, really. Mm. I could go on for ages and speculate why they haven't done that, but... The fact is that even though he owns shares in the club, he's not been invited onto the board. It was a case a few years ago. They changed the rules. I think it was about 4 years ago that if you owned 30%, you had to make a compulsory offer for the rest of the club.
Yep.
It was a law in English football, but they changed that, and then he got to 30% not long after. So I don't know if he actually wanted to buy 100% of the club, because. Mm. He obviously had the means to get him to above 30%, but didn't do it until they changed the rules that it meant you didn't have to buy the club. So I don't know if he didn't want to spend the money or whatever it is, but and maybe the board have seen that as a sign that they think he's not too serious and doesn't deserve a seat on the board. If he's waited for that law to end or that rule to end for him to buy his shares, I think also. It would be very difficult if he was on the board, because it seems like he wants to spend money and run the club not as a business, so to speak. But then if he was on the board, he'd be voting to spend other people's money. Which obviously, I think that's why he hasn't been invited onto the board, because he'd be outvoted every time anyway, to be honest. So it kind of is a bit worthless. But that's why he doesn't have a place on the board. But I don't know how there's ever, unless he becomes majority owner, I don't think there's ever going to be a way around that.
I heard reports and or rumours or whatever you call it that they had a vote and he lost by one vote. Do you know anything about that?
I haven't heard anything about that. I would be surprised, because a lot of the board have been put in place. They've either been there for years or they've been put in on Kroenke's say, so pretty much like Josh Kroenke's now got a seat on the board. So he's obviously for Stan Kroenke to get that approved, he's obviously got a lot of the board members doing what he says. So he's obviously saying no to a seat while he's not on the board. So I'd be surprised if they had a vote and he only narrowly missed out. I think it'd be probably pretty unanimous.
Okay, it's all very interesting. A lot of the fans, they want Usmanov's money, but then, is it reckless money, like you say, and is it like going to be a dictatorship if he takes over the club? And, we're obviously going to see at this stage not a lot change, because Kroenke will hang on to his shares. Usmanov says he's hanging on to his shares, so... Where does this put this Nigerian guy, though? I did write his name down. Tony or Carl? Have you got any add on
Sangotti,
that?
His name.
Yeah. Where do we see this guy in the future? Do we actually see him? He'd have to make a big offer to Kroenke or a big offer to Usmanov for the shares.
My personal opinion on him, and I've said this from the start, I don't think he's serious. I think he's obviously a very wealthy man and a very good businessman, but I think he's just trying to make a name for himself, because everything he said has been like stuff that creates headlines. It's like before this Kroenke offer, you didn't hear anything about it. It was just, bam, the offer's made. And the same when Usmanov made his offer back in April or May, you didn't hear anything about it. It was just suddenly reported that it had been made. This guy has gone the other way. It's like he's trying to get all the headlines before he's even actually done anything. And also the rumours of him bidding $2 billion for the club, like, it sounds exciting, but that's massively undervaluing the club, which again would create headlines and gets his name out there, but is never going to be accepted. So he's getting what he wants. He's getting the publicity, but never in fear of actually having to spend the money. He done an interview and he said, oh, I'm completing a project on something. I can't remember what it was. And then I'll be ready to buy Arsenal after that in like a year or so. So why announce, why are you even speaking about it now? Like, that's not what happens at board level. And also, he done another interview where he said, oh, when I take over Arsenal, the first thing I would do is sack Arsene Wenger. I know a lot of people want Wenger out, but that's not when you're, when you're buying a business for, it would be around $2.5 billion. That's not the first thing that comes into mind, but that is the first thing that gets you headlines.
Yeah.
So I just think he's doing it all for publicity. It's been my opinion since the start. Nothing's happened that's changed that. Everything that's happened has kind of added to my thoughts about that.
It's all very interesting. And look, at the end of the day, it's good to see, I suppose, that we have interest out there, but I personally don't see Kroenke or Ustinov selling any shares. So it probably leaves this guy out of the equation. You know, at the end of the day, we've got to be happy with... Well, we don't have to be happy, but they're the cards we're being dealt, and we've got Kroenke and Ustinov, I suppose, and there's not much more we can do about it, so... you got any more to add on that, Carl?
Yeah, the fact that he's going public with it. Yeah, he's making a name for himself, but it's not the right way to go around to try and get shares in Arsenal Football Club. In reality, I don't think I can recall Usmanov doing that same thing where he's trying to make headlines about himself, saying, "Oh, look, I'm gonna purchase shares," when he did. Because yeah, I don't think he did that, and That's kind of a testament to, or a lesson to show why Dangote, I think his name is, shouldn't be doing that. Yeah, I think it's very hush-hush the way you're supposed to get shares. And anyway, in terms of Arsenal board, they're not going to allow someone on that's just going to get the, you know, get the support of the Wenger out brigade.
2 years down the track, you still see us having the same two owners?
Yep.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
You any dad on that, Savvy?
Yeah, I think I agree with the most of the part, and I think he's not even, the Nigerian guy is not even related to football. I don't think he's got anyone who knows the club. It's not like that. You just throw the money and you can buy the club. So I don't think it's ever going to happen. So I don't think, as Tony mentioned, I think he's doing it for publicity. And maybe he's an Arsenal fan, so he thought, I have money and I can use Arsenal to become more famous. So that can be a thing.
Yeah. Okay, well, we'll move on from our ownership, because I think, you know, we could squeeze it out as much as we possibly can, but I think we've covered all bases, and I just don't see much more of a change. So, okay, reports coming out that Ozil... And I wrote a piece on it. He was linked back to Real Madrid, Barcelona, or Manchester United. Now, it was an article that I believe come from Goal and then come from Metro. Now, these guys are basically, for fuck's sake, scraping at the bottom of the biscuit barrel for headlines, aren't they? Like, Tony, what's your thoughts on all this, mate?
Yeah, so I think it originally came from Metro and then was used on Goal, but it might have been the other way around. But either way, they're probably the two least reliable media outlets in England, if you want to call Goal media outlet. I actually used to work for Goal, and I can tell you stuff is pretty much just made up.
Yep.
As and when. They also, there is no quote. It's an exclusive with no quote. So
there's nothing there.
How was it an exclusive?
Yeah.
Like, so I think because a lot of people are unhappy with Ozil at the moment, and he probably isn't going to sign a new contract from the looks of things. They've just seen that and decided to get on Ozil's back about it and taken it as true. But there's literally nothing factual in that article. Like, so, and it's very easy linking him with
United because of Mourinho, Real Madrid and Barcelona. It's like, and I'm surprised he didn't chuck Bayern Munich in there. But of course he would sign for Bayern Munich if he had the option. It's just a very good piece. But I think at another time, if we was on a run of 6 wins in a row and Ozil had played in all of them and tagged a couple of goals and got a few assists, no one would say anything. But because we're in a bit of a bad place with him, it seems like that fans want to take it as gospel and get on his back about it.
I said a comment on somebody asked if there was any truth in it, and I said, look, where there's smoke, there's fire, but obviously he's not signing the contract. You're right, reporters have basically looked at it and gone, well, this guy doesn't look like signing a new contract, so let's make up some headline. And I'm not saying they did make it up. According to them, it was an exclusive. I couldn't find the video or the comments that he made online anywhere. But in saying that, and I'll go to you, Carl.
Mm-hmm.
The Sanchez and Ozil saga, it's becoming a joke. And I wrote a piece on it that the fact is somebody at the fucking club needs a kick up the arse, because they have negotiation skills of a fucking 2-year-old. Like, why can't you get these players, if they don't want to sign a contract, fuck them off, get rid of them?
Yeah, it's so shoddy from a club like Arsenal. You've got two of your best players, and the fact that they're less than a year left on their contract, and you're still dawdling around whether to sign a contract extension. Give them what they want. If they don't want it, piss off. Mm. January, send them to PSG or something. They won't really affect us. They probably won't even get first team football anyway. Bloody Neymar getting all the priorities. Mm. So it's a win-win for us if we send them off in January, if we're not going to stick our take finger out of our ass and actually get them to sign the contract. It's stupid from Arsenal. Disgusted, what? Really.
Oh, me too. And it gives me, it actually pissing me right off the whole thing with it, because it's going to be report after report, you know, Ozil to this, Sanchez to this, Ozil said this, Sanchez said that, and it's the dicky bullshit crap that Arsenal negotiating contracts. I don't know why they didn't get rid of them last transfer window. I think I said probably get, what, 40, 45 million for Sanchez last summer? Maybe 30 million for Ozil.
I think if you did that at the start of the window, and then given that you sign replacements, I don't know if Arsenal are capable to do that anymore. But if they did that, then that would be a great window for us. But the fact they've just kept on to him because what's it like? Troops and Arsenal Fans TV says to keep them. Mm. Like it's. The simple thing is, if a player doesn't want to play at the club, I've said this before, if a player doesn't want to play at the club, sell him off.
Get rid of him.
Yeah.
It's very frustrating. What's your take on it, Savvy?
Yeah, I think I agree with it. I think Arsenal board and everything who is negotiating the contracts, they have handled it very badly, because obviously, if everybody knows Sanchez wanted to go, we should have sold him and signed a replacement. We waited till the last day of the window, and then we decided to act and then bid 90 million for Lemar. And then obviously that couldn't happen, so we decided to keep him.
Mm.
So I think it was very bad. And for Ozil, I think I'm a little dubious on this matter, because we don't know if Ozil wants to leave or not, because time and time again, whenever Ozil has given an interview, whenever he's come out to say something, he's always been a pro-Arsenal guy. Recently also, I think he bashed Arsenal legend, and he was very, very much towards like, I want to stay at Arsenal, I could stay at Arsenal. And I still feel, I think he's the guy who can still stay. Because he doesn't look like a very egoistic player like we can say Sanchez. And he gets the freedom here. I think he won't get that freedom anywhere. He loves London. He can still stay. And these reports coming out, I think these are nonsense. Because these are coming since, I think, Ozil joined us. And And since I think Jose Mourinho was at Chelsea, and they were saying that he wants to sign Ozil for Chelsea. Now he's at Manchester United, so they are just making it up that he wants to go to Manchester United. I think there is no truth to that. And I still think Ozil might stay. But yeah, Sanchez, I think we should have sold him and signed a replacement. But we handled it very, very badly. And it can cost us, it can cost the whole team. So it's very bad bad for a club of Arsenal's stature.
There's a very easy solution here. Ozil, come here, sign a contract tomorrow, the reports are gone.
Yeah, that's right.
So why he's not going to sign a contract and why this continues to bubble along, the reports, the journalists, they've got a job to do. They're going to report that he's not signing a contract. What's your take on it, Tony?
Sanchez, we've all known for a long time that he wasn't going to hang around. I can't believe they didn't sell him in the summer.
Mm.
With Ozil, they genuinely believe he's going to sign a new contract, and they have done for a long time. So I guess if they believe that, then you can't go selling him for 30 million if they genuinely believe he's going to sign a new contract. From what I hear, all indication is that he's happy to stay. Whether he wants to is a different story.
Mm.
They're just a bit apart in the financials at the moment. Whether one side's going to give way in that or whether he's going to walk away for free, who knows?
Mm.
I think we're playing a dangerous game by letting it run into January, and then he can speak to other clubs so he knows what's on offer elsewhere. But then that could potentially go in our favour. If no one offers him what he wants elsewhere, then he may not see the need. Well, he may sign for the lesser amount for us, but it's difficult. I mean, Sanchez is not going to sign. We all know it. But
yeah, Sanchez, yeah.
I mean, people are still, I know you kind of briefly mentioned it, people are still talking about getting a fee to him. That ship sailed on the 31st of August because he can sign a pre-contract in January.
Mm.
He's going to go to the World Cup regardless, whether if he's fit. So it's not even if we dropped him from January onwards.
He'll go for free.
Yeah, that's what I mean. But people are still going, swap him for Draxler.
Won't happen.
PSG, they've got money. They're not idiots.
No,
they can talk to him in January and say, instead of us paying 40 million for you, we'll give you 10 million up front and whatever wages you want.
Mm.
They've saved 30 million then.
Yeah,
but I don't understand what people are thinking of when they're saying, we should get this for him in January.
Mm.
We have no control over him in January. If any offer that comes in from him in January will be less than 20 million.
Yeah, and clubs aren't going to pay 40 million when they can have him, like you say, they sign a pre-agreement, come to us next season. I'll give you the 10 million now, happy days. I've just saved. Where is this crap come from that we're swapping in for Draxler?
I think people may want it, so they've decided that it's a rumour. From what I say, there's no, it's never been reported anywhere. I think someone's just gone, we're just swapping for Draxler, and then decided that could potentially happen.
Mm.
I might as well say, I think we should swap him for Messi, and Barcelona should give us 100 million for the privilege, and then be pissed off with Arsenal when they don't do that.
Mm.
Like, it seems to happen a lot with Arsenal that people decide they want something, and then when it doesn't happen, they blame Arsenal for not getting it done. It's like, well, no, just like they can't cater to John 27 from Manchester. And it happens all the time with Arsenal that people just decide on who a target should be, and then the club's useless, they couldn't get the deal over the line. Happened with Seri in the summer. Are they useless? I wanted them to sign Seri and they couldn't get him.
Yeah.
No, they couldn't get him. They didn't want him. Like, as simple as that.
I don't want to take the piss out of a few Arsenal fans that I see on Twitter, but I'd like to know how many people actually heard of this Siri. Because me and you spoke about it, Tony. How many heard of him before all of a sudden we were linked to him?
He was just linked in one place, and then they decided that he was now the world's best player or some nonsense, and then blamed Arsenal for not getting it done, despite having not really heard of him a few months before. I mean, like, what I always, when people are saying, he could be our Kante, for me, that just means you've never seen him play, because the only, like, relevance, the only similarities between him and Kante are they're both small and black.
Mm,
Beyond that,
that's right.
That is it. So when you saw people saying, get him, he should be our Kante, and then
saying, oh, Arsenal didn't get him, they're useless, he could have been our Kante.
Mm.
It's like you've honestly never seen him play. That's the only conclusion you can draw from that.
It is. And unfortunately, every club's got these fans, and I don't want to create a target on my back here because Arsenal Fan TV do a good job of that. But I just do a bit of research, guys, and have a look into it. Now, just looking on, Walcott, he's also linked to Southampton. Savvy?
Yeah. Yeah, I think reports came out that Arsenal are looking to offload him in January because the reports said that the club have asked him to improve his performances, otherwise he will be offloaded. I think that's made up.
Mm.
But definitely, I think many fans want him out of the club. I personally don't want him out of the club. That's my personal opinion. I know many will disagree with that because my point is, I think we won't get a similar level player. I think he's very good at goal scoring, and we are never getting a similar level player for whatever wages he's on. We'll have to pay the fees, the transfer fee as well. So that would be very expensive to replace him. And still, that player will need some settling. And we know that Theo has been here for quite a long time. He's definitely settled. He's not asking for for playing time. He's happy with the bench. So it makes sense to keep him. I don't want him to be sold because he's a very good player to be on our bench.
What do you evaluate him, Savvy?
Yeah, I think we can get around 20 million for him because I think clubs like Southampton who are linked, I think West Ham, they'll be willing to play 20 million for him because everybody knows he has got goals in him and his pace is always dangerous for the opponents. Mm. So definitely they can pay that and he can score goals. Everybody knows that he's a goal scorer. So I think.
What's your take on it, Carl?
About the thing that he can score goals, it's just, as an Arsenal fan, to watch him playing full games, it's just really, really irritating to see him on the ball because, he can score two goals in a match, fine. That's all that matters when it comes to looking at the match stats after the match, but looking at the way he's on the ball, he loses the ball, and when we're trying to control possession, he might misplace a pass or something. It irritates you, but for a squad player, you can expect that because he's not playing first team every week. But, I'd keep Walcott. There's no point in selling him because he's... I mean, in the same token, the fact you could say, you know, Walcott's he's at the prime age, 28. You could get money out of him now if you keep him for a squad player for a couple of years. Mm. No team will come in for him again, but... I'd keep Walcott for now. He's good enough as a squad player. He does the business as long as he stays fit.
And he's not complaining. He's happy where he is.
That's the one squad player you'll find that isn't complaining.
Mm. Mm. What about you, Tony?
I'm a bit 50-50 with Theo. I mean, I think he gets a lot of stick because he's not very good at football. But I think what you've got to accept with Walcott is he's going to frustrate the hell out of you, be pretty shit. But he does score goals, as you sort of all spoke about.
Mm.
So people can say, oh, he was useless last year. And, I mean, you could point out examples where you'd be half right. But he didn't really play much after March and still got 19 goals, 20 goals, which is, and he never played up front. So it's unbelievable. Like, no one gets them numbers.
Mm-hmm.
But you've got to accept that he's just not going to be very good at football.
Mm.
I mean, he won't go in January because even if someone offered 20 million, they're not going to... they're not going to pay his wages. And again, it's another one. I don't really know where the report come from. Wenger came out and said, Walcott's like got qualities and he's good for the squad and blah, blah, blah. And then suddenly next thing is, he's destined to go in January. And it's like, I don't know how them two interviews, well, that one interview caused the second headline. I don't actually know where it come from. The only reason I'm 50-50 on him is my view would be keep him because he's a squad player. You're not going to get, no one's going to pay the money for him anyway. But he doesn't, and I've said this since the day we changed to playing three or five at the back, he just doesn't fit into this system in any way, shape or form. Because he can't, where with the two behind the striker, you don't play wide, you play tucked in. It's like you've got two number 10s almost.
Yeah,
he's not good enough for the ball, we all know that. So it's almost like having a wasted player there. He's good where he's either through the middle and he can just run and direct at the goal. He's not the best there because he's awful back to goal, but you know, you put it in behind, he's gonna be fair game for chasing it. Where he's good is obviously if he's wide on the touchline, he can give the defender 5 yards and you know he'll probably beat him. But in this system, there's just no place for him. So I wouldn't be surprised if Austin tried to sell him. I just don't think anyone will pay the money. If we were still playing 4-3-3 or 4-2-3-1, whatever you want to call it, I would definitely say there's no chance we'll sell him. But in this system, there's just not a place for him. He can't play wing back. So it's like, where does he actually play? Where he has played twice is in two behind the striker, but he can't play there. He's just not good enough on the ball.
And the other question, you know, that I think is a touched on a little bit, is if you get 20 million for him, who are you going to replace him for that? You're not going to get a better player.
Definitely.
Okay.
Yeah, I think I want to add one more thing to that. I think Tony mentioned he scored 19 goals last season. And I want to tell everyone, so whoever listens to our pod, he outscored Eden Hazard last season. And so if you take that into consideration, he's a very good squad player to have. So why sell him? I just can't see any point in selling him.
Yeah. Yes, and we do have listeners, Savvy, which is surprisingly because I see the stats and we have a few listeners. So, and we thank you, everybody, for listening. Just on another one, though, guys, and we talked about Ozil Sanchez with this bloody saga. Jack Wilshere, now, he also is one who could leave for free next season. Tony? And I know you're a fan of Jack, and I know you're probably going to lean towards, I hope he signs, I hope he stays, but negotiations.
Yeah, definitely. I'm not leaning towards it. I'm fucking jumping on the stage bandwagon. But,
I think the club
feel, because Jack wants to be there, they know that. It's not a case of their offering contracts and this being rejected like it is with Sanchez and Ozil. It's nothing's been offered. So I think the club feel like they've got it in their hands, and they might be being a bit complacent with it, because I'd get him tied down as soon as you can. I think the issue is that they're probably going to offer him a wage reduction. It seems almost certain, which then, I mean, that's a bit of a sensitive area. But I think he will be offered a contract, and it's just when and how much. But the club are being a bit complacent in that, because it's in their hands, not the other way around. They're probably leaving it longer than I would like them to. But then that may be the Jack Wilshere fan in me speaking. But, I mean, again, I don't see the benefit of, just because it's in our hands, letting it run down. Because every day he's not signed, it's every day there could be a further doubt into it. But then it could work the other way. They could not offer him a contract, and he could, hopefully it doesn't happen, he could break his leg in the next game, and then they never offer him a contract. So it's, I mean, there's two sides to it, but I would prefer them to just get it done and get it signed.
After you said break a leg, I'm just going to touch a piece of wood because
I ran around and touched every piece of wood.
The guy's on form, there's no doubt. And the way I see it is if they don't, you know, sign him today, tomorrow, next week, the more games he plays, it's just showing the Jack that we all love. And I can just, you know, his price is going to go up and up, especially he gets a couple of assists, a few goals, and he's looked really good. So, Carl, what's your take on Jack, mate?
Yeah, I agree with Tony, the fact that you need to get it done quickly, because he said in the past that he wouldn't need an agent because he wanted to stay at Arsenal, but he is susceptible to leave if, you know, he isn't given the wage demands and the squad, I don't know what the word is, the profile in the squad, having a high profile, you know, being in the first team. But the thing is, given the fact that he stays fit, the more games he plays, the more good performances he puts in.
Yeah, that's right.
And the more clubs that are lured in. his price will go up, but the fact is he will feel that, considering he is more in demand, he can leave. Like, he's going to go to somewhere where he can play as a first-team player in the end, at the end of the day. Most footballers, nearly all footballers, want that if your name isn't Theo Walcott. Mm. So, yeah.
Hey, what do you reckon today, what's his wages worth? Carl?
I think, yeah, if you take into consideration the fact that Debussy's on 70k a week, I'd say maybe 80, 90. At least.
And let's hypothetically, he gets, I don't know, 10, 12 assists. He makes first team football, scores a couple of goals. It's next summer. What's he go up to?
I'd say maybe a 10 or 20k wage rise. Mm. So by the end of the summer, if he puts in a stellar performance all season, I'd say maybe have him 110, 120. Okay. At the end of the day, you need that passion in your team, and Wilshere's definitely not short of that. And his technical ability is top notch.
For him, it's ideal to stall as long as it can. But for Arsenal's sake, you'd want to get it wrapped up straight away.
Of course.
Yeah.
What do you take on it, Sebi?
Yeah, I would like to keep Wilshere, and I want Arsenal to offer him a new contract as soon as possible. I think. The club are waiting to get him some games and see where his fitness lies. That's why I think they are delaying this. And I think Arsene Wenger also came out and said the same thing, that the main thing about Wilshere is getting some games and playing at the top level week in, week out. That's what you want from a top player. And everybody knows there are talks of him getting an England call-up for the World Cup. And the next qualifiers, and everybody knows it's only because there is scarcity of creativity in that team. So definitely everybody is looking for Jack Wilshere. So we know he's a very quality player, a very good quality player. So we definitely should keep him. And I think if he plays regularly and gets, as you said, 12, 13 assists and 2-3 goals, and definitely many top clubs will be in for him, because he's still at the right age. He's only 25. And he can. Everybody knows about his quality. He's a top quality
player. On his day, he's a brilliant player. But the Jack Wilshere of the last 3 or 4 years, he's unfortunately been injured, so it makes it hard.
Yeah, the injury is the only problem.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, you did mention he may get a call-up to the English national team. As an Aussie, look, you guys, there's no more help than Jack Wilshere. Okay. I'm not taking much away from Australia. Bloody Syria. Fair, isn't it? Okay, so... now, Wenger come out. He was talking about, on BN Sports, he'd done an interview. I didn't see the interview, but... he was asked about Ancelotti taking over his replacement. Tony, and I know it's 2019 when Wenger does go, but what's your thoughts? Do we look at bringing in an assistant next season to take that role, or do we see who's available in 2019?
There's no chance they'll bring someone on as assistant, and no manager worth their salt will go anywhere as an assistant. Like, you look at Mourinho has never gone to United as their assistant. Guardiola never went to City as their assistant. It just doesn't happen. I've seen people say that we should get someone in the summer, but imagine, I mean, I know they're saying it because Ancelotti's out of work, but they've clashed heads so much because they've both only ever been managers. They've never had to take anyone else's advice. Mm. It just doesn't happen. Again, it's one of them things. It's like, what football do people are suggesting this watch?
I think it's come around from, because I've seen a few of the comments and people talking about it. And when Saf left Manchester United, they went with Rodgers, and then was it Moyes? So it was basically a lot of people saying a failed experiment. I've got different views on that, but
So they're a bit concerned that it's going to happen with Arsenal.
Yeah, I mean, again, it was the whole handling of replacing Sir Alex Ferguson was, one, always going to be impossible, and two, a bit of a mess. But they went straight for Moyes, who Ferguson recommended because they were mates, pretty much. But they didn't. Moyes didn't come in for a year as an assistant first. Like, again, these reports, they're just, it's never happened in football.
Mm.
In the history of football, no manager that we want at Arsenal will be willing to be assistant for a year. Like, we looked at Allegri in the summer. We looked at Sampaoli. We looked at Hardim, and I forgot who the other one was. None of them are going to go, oh, yeah, you know what? I'll be an assistant for a year on assistant's wages. And pretty much, if they're doing what Steve Bold does, do not much for a year. It's just, again, it's...
crazy.
It's another report that I think that people are talking about. It just don't understand football. It's just it's not what happens.
Mm.
It's not like an office job where sometimes you do come in and they say, oh, this person's leaving in 6 months. Come and shadow them and then the job's yours.
Yeah.
And that does happen in the corporate world, but football isn't the corporate world.
If you and I know it's a long way down the track, so Ancelotti, 2019, you like him as replacement?
Not really. I mean, I'll take him, but he wouldn't be my first choice. I think age is against him. The reason he's been sacked from Bayern, well, mainly is because he's not Guardiola, but a lot of the players are moaning about his training regimes are pretty pretty boring and basic. I think Robin, it was, come out and said my son's 10-year-old team do better training drills.
Yeah.
By all accounts, Wenger keeps the players pretty stimulated on the training ground. It's why, I mean, I know you can't trust what's released, but it's why they always look like they're having fun in training. I mean, you see pictures of Sanchez smiling, and obviously they don't release the pictures where he's probably crying and stamping on the ground. But I don't think a regime where, one, I can't see Ancelotti being any harder on the players than Wenger is, and two, where everything's pretty basic.
Yeah,
I don't think that suits Arsenal. I mean, I would prefer someone who is maybe a bit out of there. I don't want to say the word visionary, but someone who's a bit different, like the way Tuchel's been with Dortmund and Hardin was, and Sampaoli was with Sevilla and Monaco, respectively.
I said Rodgers for some reason. I meant Louis van Gaal. I don't know why I mentioned Rodgers, but anyway. Carl, what's your take on it, mate? Like,
Carlo Ancelotti 2019 will not happen. Simple. Apart from the fact that I wouldn't want him at the club, there was also, you got to bring back the comments he made back in last year, where he said the comments he said about Stan Kroenke and the Glazers, saying they were removed from their respective teams and they weren't so passionate about their teams. He'd have to explain those comments to Kroenke and the ball before he could even be considered.
Mm.
But apart from the fact that as Tony said about the training, you want someone that's kind of like for like for Wenger in that respect. You want to keep your players at a high intensity. You want them, you know, you want them to be fresh onto the pitch and give them their all every match. If you give them, you know, make them seem like lethargic on the training pitch, they're going to act like that on, you know, act like that at the Emirates and wherever they go in the Premier League and other competitions. So, yeah, Carlo Ancelotti definitely isn't the fit for Arsenal. It's just the fact that people think that a guy that manages Bayern Munich, he gets sacked, so you think, oh, he should be the replacement for Arsenal just because he, you know, they beat us 10-2 on aggregate last season.
If you have a look at his record from when he left AC Milan, he's gone to PSG, Real Madrid, and Bayern Munich, and I think he's been sacked from both them two clubs. PSG actually left for the job at Real Madrid, so he hasn't done a lot for me in the last couple of clubs. Like, yeah, okay, Bayern Munich, Real Madrid. I think he won a trophy there. Oh, yeah, he won the Champions
League. Yeah, he won the
Champions League. Sorry, yeah. So, but, you know, and look at the team he had. So, what's your take on it all, Savvy?
Yeah, I personally don't want Carlo Ancelotti at Arsenal. because I think his style of play and the I think we saw, everyone saw him at Chelsea. I was not really convinced with him in the Premier League. And definitely, I think these reports are coming out because he's out of his job. He's a top manager who has won things. And Arsenal, every year there's talk of Arsene Wenger going and fans are against him. Wenger out, Brigitte is out. So that's why they are coming out. I think he'll be at a new job within 6 months. So all the speculation will be gone by that time. So we really don't know. I still feel, I think Arsene Wenger will sign again in 2019 and he will continue. That's my personal feeling. I feel it is going to happen.
Well, we've just lost all the Wenger out listeners. Hey, Sammy. Okay. You got any more to add on that, Tony? Are you good?
I want to just point out that Ancelotti's not a bad manager. I just don't think he'd be a fit for Arsenal. I'm not here saying he's awful. Yeah. I just don't think he'd be a good fit for Arsenal. And speculating what's going to happen in 18 months is, in football, is never a wise thing. I mean, the average lifespan of a manager in football at the moment, I think, is 13 months. Mm. So speculating what's going to happen in 16 or 18 months is pretty much pointless.
What is it, Eddie Howe and Wenger? They're the two longest-serving managers now in the Premier League today, aren't they? So
I think if you add up the time of all of the others put together and double it, I think Wenger's still more.
Mm. Yeah, that's right.
Okay, so I think it was you, Tony. You put out a poll, and when Welbeck is back, who, according to you, should be our front three in the current formation? Now, it was very close, which surprised me, actually. Alexis, Lacazette and Ozil, 51%. Alexis, Laka and Welbeck, 41%, which I thought was pretty interesting. So a lot of fans, and that was out of about 600-odd votes. So there's a few fans that obviously think Welbeck deserves a starting spot.
It wasn't me that done the poll.
Oh, it wasn't?
But,
okay.
Yeah, it was me. Okay. I did that.
It's a difficult one because, as I said, Ozil's flavour of the month to hate at the moment because it doesn't look like he's going to sign a new contract and we've had a couple of positive results without him. Personally, for me, if Welbeck plays, he has to be on the left of the two behind the striker. He always has been. I think you could, even when we played 4-2-3-1, you can count on one hand the number of times he played on the right of the three. It's always been on the left. So it wouldn't work with Lacazette, Sanchez and Welbeck because it would leave someone having to play on the right that doesn't want to be there. So I think you've got to put that into the equation more than just thinking what three players you like.
Yeah.
It is a difficult one. I mean, obviously, the Ozil, Sanchez, Lacazette is untested. They've not played a minute as a free. When we signed Lacazette, everyone was going, oh, brilliant. Like, he'll be able to make runs off Ozil and he'll be running in behind and Ozil will be able to find him.
Mm.
Now, because everyone, obviously, as I said, has some kind of feelings about Ozil because of the report, it's like, oh, we don't want him in 11. Mm. So it's a bit like, where's that come from? In the summer, you was delighted because we've got someone to play with him. And now, without that ever happening, you don't want to see it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I think that the problem is them two players don't want to be there, but I still think we're a better team with them in, definitely in an attacking sense. Maybe defensively we're not, which is where the issue comes in. But we're going to be on the front foot in probably 80% of games we play this season. So I'd say 80% of the time we want... My personal pick would be Sanchez, Lacazette and Ozil, but that's my personal preference.
Mm.
I can understand people wanting Welbeck because he works his nuts off. He offers us pacing behind like no one else does. He's decent hold up. He's strong. He does offer us a lot apart from kicking the ball in the goal, which he's very bad at.
Well, it actually surprised me because there was a 6% on Welbeck, Laka and Ozil. And so that means people want to see Sanchez play.
Yeah, it's, as I said, it's weird because at the moment Ozil's the negative flavour of the month.
Mm.
It's like they're forgetting that them two are in the exact same situation. except that Ozil there is a potential he may sign. Sanchez there is absolutely no chance.
He's gone.
It's just, yeah, so it's just like people are saying, oh, I don't want Ozil in the team because he doesn't want to be there. But if that is your only criteria for not being in the team, then Sanchez is as much at fault as Ozil. So it's a strange one, really. As I said, it's just flavour of the month. I've always said that people, like, they form their opinion on what's on their mind currently and they don't think of the bigger picture. And I think with the press banging on about Ozil so much, that was on their mind currently when they're voting on that poll. I think had all the press been about Sanchez stropping in training and kneeling down every time we concede a goal like he's personally been hard done by, then you'd probably see his name in there a lot less.
What, Savvy, you did the poll. Sorry, I didn't realise that. What's your take on it, mate? The you know, you're happy with that 51%?
Yeah, I think I voted for that only. I wanted to see what people think about the front of our team right now. I think Welbeck has done really well. He has started the season really well. And actually, on current form and whatever he has done, he deserves to start. So that's why I put that poll out, because and everybody knows that Sanchez is eventually is going, and he doesn't want to be here. So that's why I think there are some votes for him not being in that team. And I agree with Tony on this one. I personally want Alexis, Lacazette and Ozil to start because we know they are all top quality players and we definitely want to see them, and we haven't seen them for even once in these 3 months. So I definitely want to see how that works. If it doesn't work, then we can put Welbeck out there, who has been really good this season.
Oh, there's no right or wrong here, and it's just really great to see what people are thinking and how people are voting. And And like I said, Welbeck, Lacker and Ozil, 6% of the vote. And, you know, that tells me people want Sanchez on the field. So even though, but then again, it could be like Tony said. Flavour of the month. Carl, which way were you lean, mate?
This poll's giving me a real headache because I'm gonna side with the unpopular opinion, relatively unpopular opinion here. I would want Welbeck, Lacazette and Ozil.
Yep.
And that is, yeah, as I said, unpopular decision. But
is that because of the way Sanchez has carried on?
I mean, partially, but at the same time, I'm not going 100% for that decision. It's kind of dependent, because if you want Alexis in those big games where he's going to strop or whatever 70 minutes of the game, is going to lose possession and in key areas, start the opponent's counter-attack and then comes in with a goal assist at the end, then, you know, be my guest. But I prefer Welbeck in the fact that he stretches the defensive line of the opposition. He always makes good runs. He might not be able to finish his dinner, but he'll lead to someone else doing it, i.e. Lacazette. But, different strokes for different folks, I guess.
You know, Sanchez has been okay, but he hasn't been a world beater.
He hasn't set the world alight.
No. I'd love to know who the 2% is. Any other ploys? Who else would you have there? I'm trying to track. What, Giroud?
Maybe people have thought Welbeck, Iwobi, Lacazette, and get rid of the two players that don't want to be there.
Maybe, yeah. Yeah, okay, yeah. So Lacazette stays there.
Well, actually, saying that, that's unfair, because a lot of people, and even I could be tempted to put Giroud in there. So that's, I'm surprised it's only 2%, in all honesty.
Yeah, Giroud, yeah.
Giroud was in none of them options, and a lot of people want Giroud to start.
Yeah, true. Okay, it'll be interesting. So we'll see how we go against Watford. All will be back. Now, I had a question, and I'll touch this before we move away from Arsenal. Sorry, I'm just looking for it. So Man Like Dan AFC, he actually said, now it looks like Welbeck and Coughlin are back. Does Coughlin come in for Xhaka, or does Welbeck come straight, and does Welbeck come straight back in also? Tony?
Well, I mean, we've just covered the Welbeck issue, so there's no point sort of yep. going over that. Coughlin, no. Simply put, no.
No.
There's no real way to answer that anymore. Why would he come in?
Yeah, yeah.
He maybe is better than Xhaka defensively. He is better than Xhaka defensively, but he just chases the ball around. He's very good at a high press, but you don't want your deepest player to be a high press. That's what Ramsey's there for. He doesn't distribute as well. We wouldn't be able to go back to front as well or as quick as we do, because the problem with Coughlin is he wins the ball and gives it 5 yards, which is a good skill in football. I mean, it sounds simple, but it's something that, I mean, Makalele made a name for himself based on it. Mm. But winning the ball and playing it 5 yards, what Coughlin does, is good, but Ramsey's never going to be 5 yards away from him, who is obviously, or who you assume would be his centre midfield partner. So then the problem with that is he's now got to play the ball 20 yards, which he's not capable of, or Ramsey does have to be 5 yards away from him, but then there's no link between our defensive unit and our attacking unit, and it just leaves it to basically say whoever your front three are, whether it's Ozil, Lacazette and Welbeck or Sanchez or whoever it is, it's basically saying to them three, go on then, you do all the damage and we'll just sit in. There's no point having Ramsey, who for me has been our player of the season so far, him and Monreal have been our two best players so far.
Yeah.
There's no point saying to him, well, you've got to just sit on the edge of our own area. You're taking away what for me is his best asset in his engine.
Mm. So I think
I don't mind him as a player, but I just don't think he really suits the team unless it's a situation where we've got our back to the wall and we just need to see a game out.
I think people have, like Xhaka, that he's had, two, three quieter games. I wouldn't say he's been all that bad. And he hasn't set the world on fire, as we were saying about Sanchez. So therefore, look, let's test Coughlin put Coughlin straight in there. I'm a Xhaka fan, so I'm quite happy not for that to happen. But I think Xhaka will come good, and I don't think he's been all that poor, has he? Or am I seeing it with rosy coloured glasses, boys?
For me, he suffers from the curse of Arsenal paying a lot of money for someone. So it's, as I said, the press like to bring them down because it's creating Arsenal headlines. Like every time he gives a ball away, it's highlighted. He gets like 90 plus pass completion in every game, but everyone wants to focus on the ones he gives away.
Yeah.
It's like was it Leicester? He was blamed for all three of the goals pretty much. One, it's partially his fault, but Elneny massively stitched him up as we touched on the time.
Yep.
The other two were headers at the back post. I mean, not headed. One was a ball. But no, they were. One was a header at the back post and one was a header at the near post from a corner.
Yeah.
If you're going to blame him for that, just stop the game and blame him for everything.
I think there was one of them where, and it was on the coverage, where he actually was apologetic. I just can't remember which one it was now.
Yeah, he gave the ball away. He tried to play it wide to whoever was playing right wing back. I can't remember if it was Chamberlain or Bellerin. And Albrighton cut it out and put the cross in and Vardy scored. But it was... Basically, Elneny had no options. I said I covered this at the time. Elneny had no options, so he just sort of gave it to Xhaka, who was 2 yards away from him, and was like, go on then, you deal with it. And instead of putting his foot through it, Xhaka tried to play a pass, and it got cut out, and they scored. So, yes, it is a mistake, but it's not... He didn't just carelessly give the ball away.
Mm-hmm.
As I said, I think... And then, again, because of all that negative press report, now fans are picking up on it. Like, there was a guy... I can't remember what game it was. Was it... I think it was at the Brighton game where the guy behind me, Xhaka gave a ball away, one of the three passes he gave away in the whole game, I think. Mm. And they're like, oh, that guy can't pass. And
he
I
can't like, pass, yeah.
I was like, what are you on about? Have you ever seen us play?
Yeah.
Like, and as I said, it's, when something goes into the media and becomes a fact in the media, that doesn't mean it's actually a fact, people read that and they start to believe it without forming their own opinions, which is something I've always had a bugbear with, and I've mentioned it many times on both the podcast and tweets.
Yep.
But yeah, I think sometimes just like watch the game for yourself.
I'd like to see Xhaka. I think he's not taking his much risk as what he used to, and he's not having his them, you know, them long shots that he used to try. And yeah, okay, he doesn't get as many as what I'd like him to get, but I think he's taken that out of his game a little bit. I'm not sure whether someone's had a whisper in his ear to say, "Hey, just calm it down a little bit," or
Wenger,
something.
Wenger,
yeah, probably more than likely.
He scored for Switzerland last night, but I haven't seen it, so it could have been a 1-yard tap in. It could have been a 30-yard pile driver. I don't know, but I know he scored.
Didn't know.
Goalkeeper gifted him that goal. Yeah,
I haven't seen it either. Okay, well, let's next question for Carl.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some of those names. He's called himself Stanley Kroenke. Are Arsenal going to utilise the full amount they had as surplus in the last transfer window on replacements for Ozil and Alexis? Jesus.
Must be a banter question, surely, because that's never going to happen.
No.
Yeah, you get like, oh, look, we've made a transfer surplus. No, they're going to use it as a, what's it, they're going to use it as a trophy rather than actually invest it back into players or anything like that. No, it's just not going to happen. No.
You don't think so? No.
No, definitely not.
90 million on Lamar. Don't think it's going to happen, that one?
No.
No.
No, not at all.
What are we, 50 odd million on Lacazette? And that broke our budget. Like, I can't see it either.
No. 40 million extra? No.
No.
On a Lamar, Lacazette type player for Lamar.
Mm.
Yeah, that doesn't make sense, especially when it comes to Arsenal's dealings with money at the time.
Mm. Okay, Savvy.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not gonna. We spoke about it beforehand. Look, there's no truth on the Martial rumor. And at Big Bad Wolfie's asked, is there any truth on it? And I'm going to say, as we were speaking before the podcast, there's no truth on it. However, I'll put the question another way. Would he be a suitable replacement for Alexis if there was any truth in the rumour?
Yeah, I think he would be. And I think earlier mentioned him as a like-to-like replacement. Not really like-to-like, but a player who is capable enough to replace Alexis Sanchez. So I think he's a very good player, but as you said, that rumor is just made up. So I think they are just making it up because he's a bench player at Manchester United, and we need a replacing of the player in similar position. So that's why the press are linking us with him, and I really would like him at Arsenal, but I don't think it is going to happen.
Mm-hmm. I think he'd be a good player at Arsenal, but is he 21? He's got a lot to offer and a lot of potential, but I can't see Manchester United selling him.
Yeah, they're definitely, yeah, they won't sell us.
Tony, one more question from Stefan. How highly is really... I should pre-read those, eh? Basically, he's talking about Eddie Nketiah regarded by the boss and coaching staff. Does he have a future at the club?
I think it's on the end of this tweet, but I'll just answer it now before I forget. He's also asked about Daniel Marlin, who no longer plays for Arsenal. So that's a bit of a weird question.
Yep,
sold him in August. So okay. Just to cover that before I forget. On Eddie Nketiah, however you say it, I've not seen loads of him. Obviously, came on against Boateng, played a few times in pre-season. How highly he's rated is always difficult to tell. The club promotes quite a few young players each season to be in and around the first team group, just to give them that experience. It doesn't mean they're anywhere near the first team. And so I think people may have read that, obviously, I'm going to call him Eddie because I can't keep pronouncing his surname wrong.
Yep.
I think they may have seen that he's been in training with the first team and thinks, oh, is he on the verge of a call-up? But no, he's not. He's also in a difficult position in that when we play our fringe players or our not starting players, shall we call them, I'm not starting players in an attacking sense that we've seen recently include Giroud and Walcott. So they're going to start in the Capital One Cups and the Europa League. So where, say Reece Nelson, for example, he's going to start as our second choice right wing back in these games because he doesn't have a load of players in front of him.
Yep.
Whereas Eddie does. He has players with more experience who are clearly better and they're not getting game time. So we're going to use it to give them game time.
Mm.
So I think he's in a bit of an unfortunate position in that sense. How highly rated is he? I don't know. It's hard to tell. And it doesn't really matter at that age. I remember when Tuba Akpom was 17, every club in the world were trying to get him. Barcelona tried to sign him. And he was obviously very highly rated in everyone in world football. And he's nothing short of useless now.
Mm-hmm. Just for the listeners, he plays, what position does he play?
He can play up front or on the left of the... Like, he would play in the position Sanchez has been playing. So when he came on against Barta, he played on the left of the three. Or not the three, the striker and the left of the two behind him, but he can also play down the middle.
Yeah, okay. Yep. And he's adamant that's where he's going to play, for the season, but he's not having a positional change.
Yeah, it seems to be. It's very rare you get attacking players. I mean, now most attacking players, unless they're target men, seem to be able to play in any of the front three positions, shall we call them. And he can do that, and that's pretty much what happens. A lot of players now aren't tying themselves down to one position.
Yep.
There's very few players, especially younger, I mean, maybe older players, but there's very few players that you look at now that you can go, he plays only in that position. Like, even, say, Rob Holding, he played at right-back for Bolton before. Like, Mustafi's played at right-back. Mm. Obviously, we've seen Monreal play in multiple positions for us. There's very few players where it's just like, you are that one position because they know that they have to be adaptable in the modern game.
Yep. Okay, well, hopefully that's answered. Has anyone else got, Savvy or Carl, you got anything to add on that? On that player?
No.
Okay, well, thank you for your comments and please and keep them coming. And you can always tweet us at clockend_talk. Okay, we're just about to wrap it up, guys, but I'll just ask you, have you watched any international games over the weekend? Savvy?
Yeah. I watched the France game yesterday.
Which game, mate?
France game.
Yeah, yep.
Yeah, Lacazette, he started the game, and I think Giroud came on for last 20 minutes. I think Lacazette, he was good at times and he was a little frustrated at times because he missed 2-3 easy chances. Mostly they were blocked. The shots were on target. Then I saw the highlights of the Swiss game because I heard Xhaka scored. But that goal was, you can say, gifted to him by the goalkeeper. But yeah, he was good at closing down for that goal.
Mm-hmm.
And... these two games. Yeah, so.
Yeah, okay, cool. What about you, Tony?
So I watched 4 minutes of England, and that was about as much as I could. I watched Wales against Georgia because it was on at 5 o'clock when the only alternative was like Neighbours or something.
Yeah.
I would like to say I watched Australia-Syria just to take the piss out of you, but let's be honest, no one watched that game.
No one watches that but us.
To be honest, I struggle with international football. Just the whole tempo, the pace of everything, I'm really not a fan. No, I haven't watched much, but saying that, I will be watching the Ireland Wales game tomorrow where it's sort of winner takes all, both teams need to win really.
Yeah.
So it won't be this usual slow tempo sit back. England are playing Lithuania in a bit, but I'm probably going to watch the Scotland game because they need to win as well. Both teams need to win.
Mm.
So, I mean, I may watch that. I won't be watching England as much as
Scotland can go.
England back and they're just a shit.
Scotland can go through if they win this game, can't they?
Both teams need to win.
Yeah, okay. Yep. I won't say much about the Australian game because, look, a lot of Aussies here say, "Oh, it was a tough game," and I'll be straight up, brutally honest. We are fucking shit, and it was a game we probably should have won. And Australia is Australia. We're probably about 121st in fucking world football, and that's what you get. So don't sit there and tell me that, "Oh, we should have won." And fucking rah rah, it's just a load of shit, and I'm not a big fan of international football either. So, however, I really enjoy the World Cup and Euros, but as far as these friendlies go, I'm not a fan. We have an Australian coach, coaching our team, and why we want to fucking stick with an Australian coach because he's better than anyone else in the world, apparently, is beyond me. But yeah. Carl, what's your thought? What do you watch, mate?
No, I didn't. I was about to fork out quite a bit of money on an England ticket. Thank God that I didn't, because I heard that match was absolutely terrible, to put in nice words.
Mm.
But international football doesn't excite me unless it's the World Cup, and then all the England fans get on the British newspaper, the headlines, for being rowdy with some other country's ultras or whatever, but it doesn't really take my interest.
Nah. Okay, we got a podcast before the next game. I'm just trying to look here now. Arsenal.
Does it not make sense to do it after the Watford game?
After the Watford game, we'll be back, which will be next Sunday night, 3:30. So we'll be back on the Monday. For the Watford game.
You're talking Australia.
Sorry, Australian Sunday, you guys Saturday, yeah. So we'll be back Sunday for you, Monday for me. Okay, thank you, everyone. You can follow us at clockend_talk. You can find our blog at clockend.blog. Thank you, Tony. Thank you, Carl. Thank you, Savvy.
Yeah, thank you, mate. Thank you, Ted.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Oh, and just quickly before I go, subscribe to us on iTunes. Hit that subscribe button and download it. Also, leave a little comment at iTunes so other people can find it. Thank you.